2019, an illness of this sort, my addiction to self, maybe. This illness is not like the cancers, the other illnesses that people feel sorry for them. For with it goes annihilation of all things worthwhile. It engulfs all whose lives touch the sufferers. It brings misunderstanding, fierce resentment, financial insecurity, disgusted friends and employers, warped lives of the blameless, sad wives and partners and husbands and parents. Anyone can increase the list of how my chaos and my control and demand affects the lives of the people around us. So did my misunderstandings, did my fierce resentments, did the financial insecurity brought on by my own disease disgust my friends, employers, and warp the lives of my blameless children, my family, everyone around me, including my coworkers, you know, pretty much everyone I touched. So this emotional sobriety difficulty that I've had, this addiction to self, has affected everyone. And I would have told you it was just me trying to get what I could get out of life. And, you know, the rest is up to you guys. Do the same. And now I see how negatively impacted I did, you know, God's world, ultimately, right? God's world and God's kids. And I find that objectionable. And so I would like to grow in this area and get healthy and be able to carry some good and some peace and some joy out into the world. So where I'm at today is, it just keeps coming up over and over again recently, is the spirit world, the world of the spirit, the fourth dimension, the sixth sense. There's more to this life than I can see, touch, taste, and those other senses that we assume. Now, I used to be bound by feelings and what I could see, really. That was just it, you know. If it didn't feel right, it didn't feel good, well, I'm going to do something to change it as quickly as possible because I can't feel right. And if it doesn't look right, well, I'm going to need to get my hands on it and meddle with it and make it look right. Didn't work, by the way, but perhaps you guys can relate. So the spiritual life is all throughout the book, and it starts in the beginning. And Bill refers back to this several times, so I think it's important for him, and it's definitely important for me. Page one, I visited the Winchester Cathedral, much moved. So I've had those spiritual experiences, and I believe that's one of his first spiritual experiences, or at least the biggest one that he remembers, is nature, sunrise, sunset. I'm a gardening guy. I like being outdoors. Spring flowers, like flowers pop, like something's going on there that I couldn't create. I couldn't even envision on my own. And I see it and I am much moved, right? Sometimes it's a smile on my kid's face unexpectedly. Pop. That's something amazing right there. And I stop, much moved. And I've had experiences like that throughout my life, but I never really could latch onto them or attach to them in a lasting way. They were fleeting, right? They were fleeting. Maybe that's what I was craving most of my life anyways, seeking, chasing, right? Tanny talks about it again. Whoa, hey. He's really getting into it here on page 10. And then, whoa, that wartime day at the old Winchester Cathedral came back again. And I envisioned this. I got to go visit some friends, and they took me to an authentic, real old church. In the States, we don't have stuff that's very, very old. Well, in Europe, you guys got really good old stuff. And the light coming in the stained glass windows. And this is how I'm thinking, like Bill's out there. And it's just like, every single thing is right in the world when that light comes through the church stained glass windows. It's just like peace, serenity. But so fleeting and gone, right? but I can remember too that I had these spiritual experiences in my life that I could just touch barely, and then they were gone a moment later. And then I would drink and use on top of it, and they'd be gone for a long time, right? Blocked for me to pick up and to go off into those things separates me from spirit pretty quickly. Rage, adrenaline, emotion, hard emotions that I'm not willing to prey on or deal with can get me fired up, and I'll be lost in myself again before I know it. So our troubles, I think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of myself. And I keep talking about self right now because the self, as I used to believe it, really was kicking my ass. It was the most important thing in my life. Self, me, 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 me. I did not know there was a better way. It's not about blame or shame. I didn't know there was a better way, and I didn't have any practices to even get there. Above everything, I must be rid of this selfishness. I must, or it kills my soul. Not just my body. It starts by killing my soul and everyone around me. So now that I've had glimpses of this spiritual world and this spiritual life, it looks like I'm going to pray into my problems. I'm going to pray into my difficulties, and I'm going to pause and wait for God to work on my heart, God to work on the people around me. I've come to this place now where, I mean, hopefully this works for you, but I'm going to lay it out the way I understand it, is like the universe is self-correcting most of the time without my direct intervention, demand, control, or insistence, right? In fact, as we work the 12 steps and we get clearer on our own lives, as we pull back and observe what's happening around us and turn maybe to fellowship for support instead of going directly at the problem. Hey, how can you help me here? Oh, pray on this, or let's talk it out, or let's do some resentment sheets on what's going on here. Let's get clear on what the problem is and how to proceed. As I pause, I can observe people taking care of their own shit quite nicely without me getting in there and muck about even more and making it worse, right? And as I start to do that, then I start to see that this 12-step program in the spiritual life is real. It does work. And then I can actually do it a little bit more. So instead of the downward spiral of my demand and control and need for everybody to look a certain way, at some point, we're upcycling everything. A little bit more pause, a little bit more patience, a little bit more tolerance. And then I get to a place where, because it's more, life is more than what I can just see or feel in any given moment, I can actually get to a place of where, this is new and great for me now, is I can get to a place of where I can say once or twice what my need in a situation is, and I can walk away from that quite healthily and be okay with whatever their response is. Yes, we're going to work together. Yes, we're going to go forward. Great. I'm happy. No, we're not. You're not going to get what you want today, Michael. Oh, okay. No, we're happy. I'm not as attached to every single outcome in my life today as I was before, because I am fulfilled today by the Spirit in a way that I was using the outside world to fulfill me before. Kids, the wife, the other wife, the girlfriend, the other girlfriend, the job, the cash, the cars, you know, the devices, the gadgets, right? So I'm not perfect. Just recently, I had a really important challenge, a business challenge. I was not getting what I want. Excuse me, get a frog in my throat. So I was not getting what I want, but today I'm at a place where I have to balance persistence and demand. Like, what am I here to do? This goal is in sight, and I believe we're supposed to go in this direction. So I have to show up consistently and hear no. I have to show up consistently and hear that no, we're not going to go that direction, but I'm guided and my heart says we are. So I have to keep showing up and going there. So I've been trying that for 3 weeks to take this business situation a certain direction. All the energy keeps coming back at me in kind of a lot of chaos, I'm just going to tell you. And the vibe that keeps coming back is chaos. So I prayed about it. I've meditated on it. I've continued on my course. And then finally, over the last couple of days, I had to detach. And as I detached, some of the people who needed me to be around were not happy with that. They didn't want that. They want to keep me there and keep going. But they want to go their direction. And I'm pretty clear on my direction. So at some point, and this wasn't the healthiest move, and this is where my challenges are, and I still want to continue to get better, was at some point I had to step away. And it was kind of a Band-Aid ripping off moment, you know, kind of whoop, ouch, it hurt, but it needed to be done. And I got some negative feedback. I also got some really healthy critical feedback that was like, hey, Michael, you could have done that better. You could have done a little more planning around it. You could have detached in a little bit more healthy way. But today I'm open to that, and I responded to it instead of perfect. instead of what I used to do, and maybe you guys can relate, we call it taking all my toys and going home. This is all my stuff. This is all my goodness. This is all my energy. I'm out of here. I'm going to say it like my head says it. Kiss my ass. I'm out of here, right? That's what my head tells me. Even last week, that's what my head was telling me. But because of the spiritual life and because of the 12 step and because emotional sobriety, I believe on most days has been restored in me, I can think that. I can actually crave and want that. And I can turn to prayer and meditation instead of engaging that craving, that need, right? So at some point I said, here's the toys. I'm going to step back for a while. You get to keep the toys, all the hard work that we put together as a team, keep that. I'm going to step back for a while. I'm going to be available here. You know, here's my email. Here's my phone number. I'm going to do some of the support that I said I would do. But as far as the leadership part of it, you guys are going to have to go on your own for a while because I'm causing problems rather than helping them. And I've never been in that place before, including being able to pick up a phone instead of sending the voicemail, knowing that I'm going to get some harsh critical feedback. Like, ouch, I had a conversation with a person yesterday that was not happy with the way I've left things. And I was okay with that conversation. And we got off the phone as equals. That's it. Humans, right? I don't think they were much more happier with me than when they started the phone conversation. And I wasn't much more happy with them when we got off the phone, but we got to get off the phone as equals and as humans. And that's huge, new, different behavior for me. I used to have to burn shit to the ground. Anybody relate to that? Like, burn it to the ground. I can't just say, okay, thank you. Let's agree to disagree. I would say that. And then I would badger everyone around me and enlist everyone around me to hate their guts, even though I said, hey, let's agree to disagree. And I'd come at them around the corner and manipulating them, trying to change their mind over and over and over again. And I haven't had to live that way for a while. So I just want to say that I'm not perfect. None of us are. I'm not superhuman. I don't think any of us are ever going to get to the superhuman part. But through the steps and with this spiritual life, I have become very human, just human. And it's so cool. I can have real responses to life today, including anger, sadness, and a little bit of excitement without being swept away in the ocean of that chaos and adrenaline that it used to be. So I think that's about where I'm going to leave it. The actual quote I was going to use is, today, you've heard Michael's description of what the book says. We have entered the world of the spirit. And today, my next function is to grow in this understanding and effectiveness. So that's where I'm at today, imperfectly. And I'm willing to accept imperfection today in a way that I never could before. So with that, I'd like to close out and thank you guys very much for having a meeting here. I appreciate you.